Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi, I'm Molly Wansell.
And I'm Geoffrey Wansell.
And for the last 16 years or thereabouts, we've been having lunch every Saturday, and often our conversation turns to murder.
Which is what prompted us to start this true crime podcast called Blood Ties.
Welcome back to the Blood Ties podcast. I'm Molly Wansell, and I'm here with my father, Geoffrey Wansell.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Thank you so much for listening. I do hope you enjoy it. I do hope that it doesn't upset you. One of the things I try and do is to make it as factual as I possibly can. But it's very important that you shouldn't be disturbed. Although I am talking about often very, very disturbed
people. I'm not sure if you can say that, you shouldn't be disturbed. Because it's like, it's not our fault that the subject matter is disturbing.
Well, that's a fair point, Mo, but I'm always, you know, conscious.
Of course, we don't want to make people upset, but at the same time, like, some details are just very upsetting. This is not a podcast you would let your young people listen to.
No. Particularly, this particular podcast, which is a two-parter. But before we return to Ed Kemper, I did come across a book. I was saying at the end of the last episode that so many of the books I read follow a very clear pattern, but I came across a truly very interesting one this week. It's called City of Windows by Robert Pobey, and what's interesting about it is that it involves a man called Dr. Lucas Page, who was a child maths prodigy and became an astrophysics professor.
What, a real life person?
No.
The fictional character?
A fictional character.
Is he the protagonist?
Yeah, he is the principal. He had worked for the FBI, but in a particularly unhappy incident, lost a leg, an arm and an eye. Didn't affect his brain.
All on the same side?
All on the same side. All on the same day. But he has this extraordinary mathematical ability. His old supervisor, a man is shot in a car in New York by a sniper. The man who's shot and killed is Page's ex-FBI partner. So the supervisor, the New York senior agent at the FBI, goes to Page and asks him to investigate. Page is married. He's got, he and his wife Erin have adopted five children. He doesn't want to get back into the anything to do with the FBI. And yet he knows that because the victim is his old partner, he owes him something. And so he goes to the crime scene and he uses his extraordinary mathematical ability to tell the FBI where the shot came from.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, that's why the title is so good, City of Windows. And it then explores the fact that the sniper goes on and on killing. And each time he has to go back and work out where did the shot come from.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
It's a very good idea. And we will hear much more of Lucas Page because it's too good a character not to. It reminded me most strongly of Jeffrey Deaver's character, Lincoln Rhyme, the quadriplegic who solves crimes lying in bed, played by Denzel Washington in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What movie is that?
They have the same, you know, incredible abilities, and yet have suffered dreadfully.
Denzel
Washington.
Sorry, just going through his.
I think it's City of Bones, but I'm not sure.
I thought that was a different one. The Bone Collector.
The Bone Collector. That's it.
Is he not? Is he? Yeah, that's the one.
That's
quadriplegic ex-homicide detective and his female partner tried to track down a serial killer who's terrorizing New York City.
That's right.
Nice.
And the female agent becomes his partner.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
It's a very good film, actually.
Yeah.
I remember it well.
Jeffrey and I have talked a lot about something we're going to do further down the line, which is a bit like the more of the real Peaky Blinders, but yeah look at at fictional stuff.
We're going to look at the real Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
And the real Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
From Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, that's what the first one we're going to do. We've also talked about Seven.
We're doing it. We'll do Seven. Mm. Absolutely.
So here we go, part two of Ed Kemper, the co-ed killer.
If you remember, in February 1973, Kemper offered lifts to two undergraduates at the University of California in Santa Cruz, where his mother worked as an administrative assistant. They were 23-year-old Rosalind Heather Thorpe and 20-year-old Alice Helen Allison Liu. And he found them on the USC, on the university campus.
Had we left at the point when there is
something important here.
Sorry.
No. By this point, young women in this area had been warned about the possibility of a serial killer. And they had been advised never to get into a car unless it had a University of California sticker on it. And guess who had a University of California sticker?
Kemper.
Is because his mother had one. So these two, despite the fact that four girls have already gone missing, these two get into the car where he promptly shoots them. This time he cut the heads off in the car. He said afterwards, and I think it's important, the head trip fantasies were a bit like a trophy. You know, the head is everything. The brain, eyes, mouth, that's the person. I remember being told as a kid, cut off the head and the body dies. The body is nothing after the head is cut off. Well, that's not quite true. There's a lot left in the girl's body without the head. One of Kemper's more chilling remarks. However, let us return to the night of the 20th of April, 1973. Kemper encounters his mother, who's reading in bed. She says to him, I suppose you're going to want to sit up all night and talk now. And he says, no, good night. He walks down the hall and waits for his mother to fall asleep. He returns and brutally bludgeons her to death with a claw hammer before he slits her throat with a knife. This is the culmination, if you like, of Kemper's rage, focused as it always has been focused on Clarnell. He decapitated her and engaged in irrematio.
He did not.
Yes, with his mother, with her severed head, before...
That he's bludgeoned?
Yes, before using it as a dartboard. He put it on a shelf and threw darts at it for an hour until ultimately he completely smashed her face in. Just for good measure, he cut out her tongue and larynx and put them down the garbage disposal. But the garbage disposal couldn't manage it, and they came back up into the sink. He said later, that seemed appropriate to me, as much as she bitched and screamed and yelled at me over so many years. He cut her larynx out.
He didn't like his mum that much.
No. He then put his mother's corpse, what was left of it, in a closet. And later that evening, he invited her best friend, a 59-year-old lady called Sarah Taylor, or Sally Hallett, over for dinner and a movie. Sally doesn't say, where's Clarnell? Anyway, she goes. But barely has she set foot inside the door than he strangles her, decapitates her, and spends the night with her body. Dead body. He put her corpse in a closet too, and obscured any signs of disturbance and left a note for the police. It read, approximately 5:15 a.m. Saturday. No need for her to suffer any more at the hands of this horrible, murderous butcher. It was quick, asleep, the way I wanted it. Not sloppy and incomplete, gents. Just a lack of time. I got things to do. He walks out, takes Hallett's car, and drives all the way to Colorado. Pueblo, Colorado. He doesn't hear any... Obviously, he now realises that eventually something's going to...
Someone's going to catch him.
When he arrived in Pueblo, he found a phone booth, and he called the police in Santa Cruz.
And told them to go to his mum's house.
Well, he confessed.
Oh.
But the police didn't take the call seriously and told him to call back later. Several hours later, Kemper called again, and this time asked to speak to an officer he knew from the jury room.
Okay.
Kemper then confessed to that officer of killing his mother and Hallett and waited for the police to arrive and take him into custody, where he also confessed
to the
murders of six students. When asked why he turned himself in, he said the original purpose was gone. It wasn't serving any physical or real or emotional purpose. It was just a pure waste of time. Emotionally, I couldn't handle it any longer. Toward the end there, I started feeling the folly of the whole damn thing. And at the point of near exhaustion, near collapse, I just said to hell with it and called it off.
He was just really revenging his mother all those times, and then he did his mother, and then
that was the end.
That was it. He just was like.
But you have to ask yourself, why kill a best friend? Is that just gratuitous? I mean, Sally Hallett hadn't done anything to him; she just happened to be friends with his mother.
Well, maybe that was enough.
Maybe it was, but it seems
to be friends with the woman he hated so much.
Yeah, I mean,
perhaps it was like he knew that that was the thing that would hurt his mother the most, like. That his mother loved that woman as a friend and not him.
Not him, yes. Well, that's a good conceivable explanation. He was indicted on 8 counts of first-degree murder in May 1973. And he's examined by a series of psychiatrists. The important point here is because he'd given such explicit and detailed confessions, his defence could only get him to plead not guilty by reason of insanity. Kemper had, incidentally, during a period on remand, tried to kill himself twice, but in the end didn't. Three court-appointed psychiatrists found Kemper sane, meaning that it was impossible to plead not guilty by reason of insanity. In particular, at one point he was given truth serum.
Does that exist?
It did then. I don't think it does now.
Because it can't be a real thing.
No.
It's from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
you can't give someone truth serum.
Well,
that's nonsense.
Well, if we are talking about 1973 here.
They could do a lie detector test.
Oh, all sorts of things.
But they don't need to because...
He's confessed. Yeah. The point about it, really, is that at one point in court, he was accused of cannibalism, saying that he cooked and consumed strips of flesh in a casserole. Actually, Kemper denied that and stated that he enjoyed the prospect of infamy associated with being labelled a murderer. He recanted that cannibalism claim. Well, he stands trial. Under what were then known in California as the McNaughton Standard, at the time of committing the act of murder, the party accused, i.e. Kemper, wasn't labouring under a defect of reason from disease of mind, and not to know the nature and quality of the act, or if he did know it, that he did not know he was doing it. What he was doing was wrong. Kemper, to all intents and purposes, appeared to know exactly what he was doing and exactly that what he was doing was wrong, and he showed no sign of malice aforethought. Kemper took the stand and testified that he killed the victims because he wanted them for myself, for my possessions, like possessions. And it's a very eloquent way. A lot of serial killers we've talk about possessing the victim, don't they? Kemper, in a way, wrote the rule book for serial killing. He was, and is remains today, an absolute example of what goes on in serial killer's mind. He tried to convince, when he was on the stand for his trial, he tried to convince the jury he was insane based on the reasoning that his actions could only have been committed by someone with an aberrant mind. He said at one point, and this is another classic, two bodies inhabited his body, and when the killer took over, it was a kind of like blacking out.
Yeah, we're not keen on that, are we?
We are not keen on that.
As a rule, we can't say, oh, it wasn't me, it was this other version of me.
Yes,
that
the Jekyll and Hyde defence, yeah. So to speak. Yeah.
Doesn't really work, does it?
Anyway, on the 8th of November 1973, the six-man, six-women jury convened for 5 hours and declared him sane and guilty on all counts. Kemper asked for the death penalty. Death by torture, he asked for.
Death by torture?
That's right.
He made up his own version.
Yes. However, there was a moratorium on capital punishment introduced by the Supreme Court at this point, and so he got 7 years to life for each count, for these terms to be served concurrently, and was sent to the California Medical Facility.
HelloFresh is the UK's leading recipe box service, delivering fresh, pre-proportioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your door. It's the easy, convenient way to cook delicious dinners from scratch every time. Choose your favourites from 19 recipes a week, including rapid recipes, ready in 20 minutes or less, family favourites, British and world cuisine, and even a lower calorie balance range. And because all their fresh ingredients come from their suppliers, pre-portioned for you, there's no food waste. Hey Dad, I wanted to tell you about HelloFresh. It's this recipe box service that I've tried. They deliver food to your door, you choose the recipes you want, and then everything comes pre-portioned with a recipe card, and you make it yourself. I found it really brilliant because I work such long hours and they provide a special set of recipes which you can cook in under 20 minutes. So when I get home from work, I can make myself a delicious meal and still have an evening, which, as you know, isn't always easy.
I do know that, darling.
And the great news is that HelloFresh are offering our listeners £60 off 4 boxes. All you've got to do is visit hellofresh.co.uk and enter the code BLOODTIES when you check out. So you should definitely give it a go.
Oh, I'm going to give it a go. It's got so many benefits. I mean, I gather it has a flexible subscription with no minimum term, so you can change your delivery day and skip weeks to suit yourself. I think it sounds like a terrific idea. You can choose a range of cuisines. As you say, there are recipes to cook in 20 minutes, but they also do family-friendly recipes, world cuisine, something to suit everyone.
Yeah, and did you know on average a household has 6 recipes that they stick to? HelloFresh can help you get out of that cooking rut by giving you 19 different recipes to choose from a week.
So, as you say, it's great news. HelloFresh are offering our listeners £60 off 4 boxes. Just go to hellofresh.co.uk and enter Blood Ties when you check out to enjoy really delicious dinners without the drama. Kemper, yet again, becomes a model prisoner. He's housed in the same place as Charles Manson, the killer of Sharon Tate and the Manson family.
Mm-hmm.
He remains among the general population and is considered an absolutely model prisoner. He applies for parole, but knows he's never going to get it.
No one's going to release him.
No, he knows he's never going to get it. He becomes a prolific reader of books on tape for the blind. It's fascinating parallel that Dennis Nielsen, the British serial killer, made a great play when he was incarcerated of doing books for Braille, in Braille for blind people.
Well, he made them in Braille.
He made them in Braille.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's one of the extraordinary things. And he was a prolific reader of books on tape for the blind. He runs the prison's library. He spent 5,000 hours narrating books with several hundred completed recordings. He was eventually retired from these positions after he experienced a stroke and was declared medically disabled. There's no way that Kemper is ever going to be released. And yet, and that's why I think David Fincher's Mindhunter is such a wonderful piece of work. There is something truly terrifying about a 6'9", 300-pound man who has shown no remorse whatever for killing completely innocent young women and, of course, in his mother. And he's also become something of a celebrity. He's been interviewed. He's given interviews to the LA Times.
Is what happens in Mindhunter real?
Yes.
That's a real thing.
A lot of it. Because Kemper...
I don't know if we should say what happens in Mindhunter just in case no one's watched it.
No, absolutely. But the thing that's important about Kemper was that he helped persuade the FBI to create a behavioural science unit to investigate serial killing.
So if you're a fan of Criminal Minds...
then you should watch...
then you will know that that's all based on the BAU. Is that Behavioural Analysis Unit? So they map murderers, serial killers, by patterns of behaviour.
Yes. And, of course, it's become much more sophisticated. But in 1973, when Kemper was first talked to, and later into 74, 75...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
No one had thought of doing this. No one had taken the possibility that there was actually a methodology in dealing with someone. He has been denied parole from 1979 until 2012. In 2016, his attorney, who represented him at a parole hearing in 2007, told the media that Kemper believes no one is ever going to grant him parole and he is happy going about his life in prison.
Is he still alive?
Very much so. He's
70. My goodness.
He's 70.
I had no idea.
Yes, very much still alive. He has become an extraordinary inspiration. We won't do it today, but he is part of the inspiration for Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs.
When you say inspiration,
well, gave the idea.
Perhaps you could define what you mean. Do you mean to fiction, or do you mean to other true life murderers?
I think he contrived to inspire a lot of writers. There are a number of books about him, Murder Noah Baron Black, for example. But Dean Koontz, an American writer, used Kemper as a prototype for a character he called Edgier Vess in a novel called Intensity. And in American Psycho, the film, 2000 film.
With Christian Bale.
Yeah. Patrick Bateman, played by Christian Bale, attributes a quote by Kemper to Ed Gein, saying, you know what Ed Gein said about women? When I see a pretty girl walking down the street, I think two things. One part of me wants to take her out, talk to her, be real nice and sweet and treat her right. And the other part of me wonders what her head would look like on a stick.
I hope that that is not the normal thing that men think when they see a woman walking down the street.
I hope it isn't too. But, he has inspired endless amounts of music. Kemper, in the same way as Charles Manson, has become this extraordinary figure, this very vibrant figure. Whereas Bundy was put to death, Kemper is still with us.
Mm.
And Kemper, in a sense, wrote the rule book for American serial killers. Every time I'll do another American serial killer, you will hear the echoes of Ed Kemper.
Okay, well, we can see how that goes as we go forward, as we're going to start doing more American serial killers.
Yes, and perhaps some European ones too.
Yeah.
because they're a very, it's a very vibrant. I mean, I think it's almost impossible to underestimate his significance to the concept of serial killing, because time after time we've talked about it. It's crossed the Atlantic. You know, men in prison have asked their cellmates, how many people do I have to kill to become a serial killer?
Well, more than one.
Well, in fact, in this country, in the UK, it's three.
Three.
In America, I think it's four. Oh. But
interesting.
Without overdoing it, without oversaying it, and I hope I haven't gone into too much detail about what Kemper did to his victims, but he was deeply troubled, and it's absolutely certain that he will never be given any chance of parole. He's due for another hearing in 2024. Can't see it happening.
If he's still alive.
He has had a stroke, but he is with us.
Interesting.
And one of the things that also is very interesting about Kemper is this extraordinary ability, this chameleon-like ability to transform himself into someone. You know, model prisoner, works in the library, helps out with making psychiatric appointments.
That's not uncommon, though. You know, Bundy was charming.
Bundy was very charming.
West was charming.
Mm. One person who could always make a prison officer's laugh was Frederick West.
Well, there you go. You see, there's a common thread.
Yeah.
And that's...
Neuro-linguistic skill.
Okay. Thanks, Dad. That was very interesting. I was just thinking that we have spoken a bit about the death penalty, haven't we?
Yes.
And we had a very interesting email from a listener, thank you, with regards to how she felt about the death penalty, because we had said, you know, it'd be great if you guys could write in and let us know what you think. And she felt very much that, you know, in the case of somebody committing a crime that was, I think, was to their own child, murdered their own child, and fully confessed and showed no remorse, that perhaps there was a kind of... Perhaps there was a case for the death penalty.
I'm, as you know, my view on the death penalty remains the one innocent man argument.
Mm. Well, I wanted to just flag something. So I listened to a very interesting podcast. I am a big fan of Adam Buxton. And I'm just going to quickly check what the name was of the lady who he interviewed. But he did an interview with a lady who works for Reprieve, which is... a charity that, her name's Maya Foer. Reprieve is a charity that tries to stop the death penalty in all cases, and very much on the one innocent man system.
Argument.
Yeah. I think I would highly recommend going and listening to that podcast just for very much the other side of
What's the podcast called?
So Adam Buxton, it's just called Adam Buxton Podcast. Interviews different people. The conversations are really interesting. Sometimes they're very light and jolly, and sometimes more intense and more serious. And he interviews a range of people. But I just found this particular podcast so interesting because she actually talks about the practicalities of the death penalty, what the lethal injection actually does to you, like, you know, and then also all the cases of, you know, poor young people who are on death row in Saudi Arabia for attending a protest, or, you know, things that are just the things that they're trying to get off, as well as those people on death row in the US. And I don't know, I think it gives a good contrary side to what we discuss when we talk about the death penalty.
Well, I was very impressed by this very interesting letter about the death penalty that we got this week. Because I too struggle. In a book I've done called Pure Evil, I argue that, is it humane, is it more humane to give a 23-year-old a whole life term of imprisonment, which means that he could spend 60 or even possibly 70 years in jail, than it would have been to offer him the death penalty as an alternative?
The email was from a listener called Helen Kahn. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you, Helen, very much.
Yeah.
And I am struggling, and I struggle throughout the book, to, particularly when it comes to the cases of killing children, particularly when it comes to killers who admit their own guilt, and they've committed a particularly heinous crime. I mean, there is a parallel here with Kemper. I mean, Kemper did actually want the death penalty. I don't think he thought he deserved to live. I mean, you mutilate and kill so many people.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that he kind of gained this notoriety in terms of becoming this model for serial killers, but possibly because he wasn't put to death.
Well, arguably. The details of the case wouldn't have gone away, though, would it? It's just that he's burnished.
No, but I think probably if the person's around and is kind of contributing to the discussion of what serial killing is, and they're a physical embodiment of that real thing.
Lots of people write to him, to Kemper.
Yeah, I bet they do.
Lots of people wrote to Nielsen in jail in England. Lots and lots. A huge correspondence.
Have you ever written to anyone in prison?
I've written to Jeremy Bamber.
But that's because you wanted information from him, not because you want to strike up a friendship,
no,
I'm guessing.
I wrote to almost every single person mentioned in Pure Evil.
In your book.
Yeah.
Who's Alive.
Yeah. And Bamber is the only one who went to the trouble of replying.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's actually the letter is in the book.
Oh, very good.
But we'll do Jeremy Bamber.
We will, indeed. Okay, well, that was fascinating.
Yeah, what about the rest of the week? What am I doing this week?
I'm sure you'll...
Yes, all sorts of things.
All sorts of things.
I think a few more documentaries. I think the club reopens, the Garrick reopens.
Well, that would be nice.
That'd be good.
How long has it been? Jeffrey's a member of a club in London where he spends a lot of happy time. And it closes in the summer for the holidays.
It closes for 3 weeks in August.
Yeah.
It'll be very nice to be back.
See all your buddies.
Yep.
Have a lot of your friends gone away for August? I've found that this August is particularly... Well, I mean, it felt like August from July for some reason. But I just found that it's been very quiet. Lots and lots of people are away.
It's funny. Some have been. I had lunch at Rules this week.
Rules is a restaurant in London, which is very traditional. It's a game restaurant. And it holds a very special place in my heart because it features heavily in The End of the Affair by Graham Greene, which is one of my favourite books.
It does feature heavily. And not much has changed in it, to be honest. Although it has opened, which I think is very nice. It's got an upstairs sort of roof terrace.
Oh, really?
Glassed in.
Oh, that's a top tip.
Yeah. And
Central London location.
Only opened in November.
Not busy, I shouldn't imagine, because no one would know about it.
No. And you can get proper teas.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, instead of going to the Ritz, which I don't like at all, it might be a nicer place for tea.
I bet my friend Megan will be very interested to hear that information. Yes. Tell her immediately.
It literally opened in November. We were talking to the guys about it.
Very good.
Well, darling, you've got usual busy week.
Yeah, busy, you know, same old, same horse.
Well, it's good to see you're busy. That's all I can say. Thank you very much, darling. And I didn't say at the end of part one, but I will say it now. Don't have nightmares and do be careful out there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.